Tony and Jenny Brewski here from Real Ghost Stories Online. There has never been a better time than now to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to Real Ghost Stories Online.
There's more exclusive content than ever before.
Plus, our new EPP website is up and running where you can access all of our exclusive content anywhere you want on any device. Exclusive video, all of the archived episodes, it's all there when you sign up to be an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com.
It's only $5 a month.
And that goes to keeping our show on the air and alive. Sign up now, become an EPP, and enjoy all of the bonus episodes for yourself when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you.
Hi.
She's actually here.
I'm back.
That's not me throwing my voice.
No, it seems like I've been gone forever.
To sound like her, which I did the entire last couple of episodes.
I don't even want to think about what you subjected our listeners to.
Great fun. On today's episode, a youth group meeting seems to have a guest joining them. A bridal shop owner gets a special request for a wedding gown from a mysterious man. After catching several minutes of paranormal footage, a listener finds that something ruined her camera, and a listener finds she is sharing her apartment with someone stuck in the 1970s. Now, that could be living or the dead in some cases.
It's dead.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm sure there's plenty of people, though, who go, yeah, I got a roommate from Craigslist, and damn, they were stuck in the 70s.
Yeah.
And they were living. Or the 80s, or whatever. I have a friend that is very much stuck in the 80s.
Yeah.
And Still, very much excited about going to the Winger concerts and or whatever, kind of dresses like it's about 1988. And yeah, he's a good guy, but still, it's about 1988 eternally for him. But to each their own. I'm looking forward to getting into some of these stories today and also taking your calls. Of course, the phone number is 855-853-4802 here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. So how was your family?
They were great.
In the state of Texas?
They were great. It was hot. It was very hot. And it's hot here, mm-hmm. but there's wind here. There's hardly ever wind down there.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's hot, it just sticks to you.
So it's worse?
I feel like it's worse.
Really?
Yeah. It's a muggier heat, too. Yeah.
Any ghosts? Anything paranormal happened to you?
Nothing paranormal happened to me, but I finally fessed up to my grandmother what I do.
Oh!
For a job.
Like, how that covers it. Grandma, I want to tell you what I do for a living, and I don't know if you're going to be proud of me or not. I think I can imagine what's going through your grandmother's mind at that moment.
She's probably thinking worst possible scenario.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I finally, because podcast is not something she's going to be sure. familiar with.
Most people of that age don't understand that.
Yeah.
Sure.
And she's got her hands full taking care of my grandfather, so she does not have time to listen to mm-hmm. podcasts,
sure.
even if she did know what they were.
Yeah.
So I had to explain that to her and then explain that we read ghost stories and how we get them and what we do. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, I kind of have a story. And I was thinking, I didn't even think my grandmother believed in ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
So she told me, she said they had this little dog. And my mom always talked about this dog. It was a beloved Pomeranian named Kelly, little red thing. And Kelly had kidney failure when she was 7 and passed away. And my grandmother said that she swore after that happened that she would hear the sound of Kelly go get on her plasticky little dog bed, that it mm-hmm. made a distinct sound. And there's no other animals in the house, no cats, no other dogs, nothing. My grandfather's not going to mess with the dog bed.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was grown and gone, and her sister, I think, was in high school or college. So there was no logical explanation for why she would hear what sounded like the weight of her little dog getting on this dog bed.
Sure.
And she said, finally, it got so bad, she just put the dog bed away. Just got got tired of it because it, you know, could you imagine how much you would miss your pet?
And then to hear that, I mean, you would think you're kind of going nutty.
Yeah.
Just because I'm sure they're animals have routines
sure.
for the most part. So if there's this time of the day where you're used to hearing that, and if you're in a certain part of the house during that day, during your routine, you would have heard that over and over
mm-hmm.
for so many years of your life. And if the animal's not there, part of you would almost feel odd if you're not hearing it.
Yeah.
And then if you're hearing it, then you're going to be wondering if you're just thinking you're hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like pretty distinct after a while, if once you're conscious that, okay, I'm going to be listening for this, and then bam, you're hearing it. Yeah, I don't blame her for hiding the bed.
No, and I think enough time has passed that I can talk about we lost Lena two mm-hmm. weeks ago. She passed yeah. away. And we keep hoping that we will catch glimpses or hear or something that she will haunt us, but so far nothing yet.
I can't say. I the other day I did thought I thought I heard something in the other room,
mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, and she when she was here, she didn't make a ton of noise. You know, she really didn't bark very much, or you know, she wasn't getting into stuff all the time. I'd like a cat that would lick bags, and you just knew the bag was being licked.
Lick bags?
Yeah,
like plastic bags.
Plastic bags.
Oh gosh.
She still does. I think she's my parents now, and I mean you just. Constantly had the sound of plastic bags being licked. She'd find them and like even though you had a plastic bag and there mm-hmm. it is. Yeah, Lena didn't really have any, you know, but if you know, you could sometimes hear her like, you know, putzing around with something.
Yeah.
And I thought that Harper was downstairs actually. And I had gone to the other room, and in between that time she had come up from her room to the other room to mm-hmm. to where your office is. And I heard like something moving around like pillows, and it was just light.
Sure.
And I'm like, it made me stop for a second. And I'm mm-hmm. like, cause I'm thinking Harper's still playing Barbies downstairs. And I go in there like not expecting, and all of a sudden it's just Harper playing with pillows and then, you know, sticking her tongue out going, I'm a silly girl.
So, well, that was Lena's favorite room.
It
she
was.
She spent probably yeah. 90% of her life in there with me.
That's what made me feel weird or made my attention go there. I mean, because, mm-hmm. I mean, Harp likes to go in there and play too, but I didn't think she was in there at that moment. So I piqued my interest for a moment thinking, ooh, maybe she's ghosts.
Yeah.
But.
No, nothing yet.
No, nothing yet. Give it time. Give it time. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. We'd absolutely love to hear it. We'll kick it off today with a letter from Bobby. And Bobby writes in, this happened to me when I was around 15. As a kid, I was part of a youth group with my church, with the church my parents went to. Outside the church was an old farmhouse from the 1800s. Once a week, we met in the evenings in that farmhouse. It had two floors, and we met on the ground floor. One night, we were having our meeting, and all of a sudden, we heard footsteps upstairs. I asked, who's upstairs? And the meeting coordinator said, oh, there shouldn't be anyone. I was convinced one of the group members was playing a joke. Not all the group members had showed up for the night, so I figured one of them had been waiting upstairs. I started up the stairs. Ghosts weren't even a thought in my head at this point, so I should have been able to make it upstairs. But I was frozen halfway up the stairs by a sense that I shouldn't go any further. I asked some of the other members to come up and check with me, and nobody wanted to go. I really wanted to check. I wasn't sure it was a joke, but I could not go more than halfway up. Felt extremely wrong, like the feeling you get at the edge of a cliff. What do you think?
You know, I think the first part of the story you could write off to an ornery teenager in a youth group.
Sure.
But that's very difficult to explain that stop you in your tracks dread.
When it's coming out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one thing if it's in your mind, what if it's a ghost?
Sure.
You know, and then that would sneak up on you. But just to have that feeling out of nowhere, it is unexplainable, and it just feels weird. I've only had that like once or twice, and it was in, I've talked about it. It was in a shower. It was one apartment I had.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I've never felt that way in a shower before, but just out of nowhere, I just suddenly just had this really weird feeling.
Sure.
Nothing ever happened. And I don't know where it came from or why it came. I wasn't thinking about anything like breaking in, or it wasn't even on my mind. But you get the feeling, and it just kind of comes over you. And I don't know.
It's like a sense or something instinctual that we have, I believe, that we don't really even understand.
Mm-hmm.
But we're picking up on something.
Sure.
And we try to, you know, use logic to rationalize it away. But there's a reason that our bodies react that way.
And yeah, you're exactly right. And I was wondering, with the apartment deal, like this, I could see it have been a ghost. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't prove that there was anybody up there. I'm assuming they proved there was no one up there.
Sure.
With the apartment thing, granted, I mean, I was in a building. There's a lot of other people in there that I don't know, in all these other parts of the building. And when you get a sense of just fear or uncomfortableness, or, you know, just like you need to protect yourself, it makes me wonder if when you're getting that sort of a sense, because this had only happened in an apartment setting, if there was something else going on within this confines of that building that was not good, that if I was in that other room or mm-hmm. other unit, you would have to protect yourself. Like, was there something really bad going on in another part of that building?
Like you were picking up on negative energy.
Yeah, like I was just picking it up from something else that was going on, from the living.
It's just weird that it only happened in the bathroom, though. I would say yes, other than in the bathroom. It makes you wonder if something bad happened in that bathroom.
In that, yeah, then it can kind of go to the world of the paranormal.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I can see that. I think we have that sense with the living and the dead.
Mm-hmm.
That you can pick that up. But yeah, I don't know. It was, it was probably the creepiest apartment I ever lived in. But I mean, it wasn't like, ooh, this is a haunted apartment, you know, that sort of setting. It was just, you know, one of the more dingy ones, I guess you could say.
Yeah. So,
I don't know. I'll probably never know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Mally writes in, hola, Tony and Jen. This is Mally. Today, I'd like to tell you a story told to me by my sister-in-law, Lore. This happened back in Mexico in the 80s. Lore was 18 and used to work as a secretary for a psychologist. She says, one day a lady came in frantic and shaking and wanting an urgent appointment with a doctor. Lore offered her water and asked her to calm down, but the lady was just crying. She started to tell Lore that she owned a very successful bridal shop in town. She was putting some final details on a gown before she closed for the day at 8 p.m. She said a very tall, handsome man, wearing an expensive black tuxedo, walked into the shop. She politely said, I'm about to close, and he replies, I won't take long. I know what I want. At this time, she starts noticing a putrid smell, but figures it's the sewer outside. She replies back to the man, how can I help you? He told her that he needed a very special gown, the most beautiful design, but there's one catch. He wanted it in black. The lady looked at him puzzled and said, I'm sorry, I don't think that's appropriate and it goes against my beliefs. He pulled out a large stack of money and told her to name her price, that this stack was only a partial payment. She agreed and asked him what design he would like, to which he replied, you design it to your liking. I'll be back for it in 2 weeks. The lady went home for the night and said she felt dread and fear as if someone was watching her for those 2 weeks. She kept having horrible dreams and couldn't get that man out of her head. She decided not to make the gown. The handsome man came back for the gown in 2 weeks, as he said, walked into the bridal shop holding a large bouquet of black roses, wearing the same black tuxedo and emanating a putrid smell. He walked up to the lady and asked for his gown. The lady replies, I'm sorry, sir, but I could not make the dress. It's completely against my beliefs. She returns a stack of money. The man laughs at her in the most horrific laugh and says, you stupid woman, you were my bride. You were supposed to come with me. He turns around to exit the bridal shop, and out from his tuxedo pops a long tail from his shoes, a hoof on the left, chicken foot on the right, and from his head two grotesque horns, and disappears through the door. The lady begins screaming and crying as her two employees come in from the back to find her crouched on the floor, rocking back and forth, holding back roses. Needless to say, the lady told Lore she closed her bridal shop forever that same day. She never recuperated from this experience and ended up losing everything. Thank you for reading my story. I have many more about the Grim Reaper and a dead girl following my mom. Hope to write back soon. I would call, but I think I sound like Minnie Mouse. So is this, refresh me at the beginning of the story. Is that like an urban legend? Is that a story that was recanted from someone?
That was somebody told.
Okay.
Mally, who wrote in.
Okay.
Her cousin told her that story.
Okay. Okay.
She was not the one that owned the bridal shop, but she was the one that comforted the woman who was.
Okay.
Who did own the bridal shop.
Okay.
Now, I looked into it some just to see if it was an urban legend. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find anything because it just sounds like the perfect urban legend.
Yeah, it sounds like one that would be like kind of told and like a friend of a friend had this happened to them or was like a character in the story.
So yeah. If it is and it got, you know, I couldn't find anything.
Sure.
You know,
it is what it is. It's a good ghost story.
I did look because I thought that just sounds a little, a little too awesome to, you know.
And in all honesty, I bet, you know, it probably is one of those stories that gets rewritten and retold and over. And it's always, you know, someone's friend's cousin or a cousin, you know, there's somebody in there that's saying that this happened to them. But what I find most interesting about stories like that is the origin.
Uh-huh.
It's like where, you know, sometimes you can trace those back. I don't know how, but, you know, I suppose if you spent like 5 years researching it or something, you could eventually get to some point of that. But stories like that, you know, there's usually something somewhere where this thing originated.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly what happened, you know, you don't know. I mean, sometimes it is pretty close to what has been retold. Sometimes it's not at all, and it's like one little thing. But that's interesting. Here's what I ask about that story and pertaining to the content of it. What's the belief of not making a black gown if you don't know what it's to be used for? If maybe they just wanted it for... Is it under the assumption that this is going to be used for something dark, I'm assuming?
It's just... It said this happened... supposedly in the 80s in Mexico.
Okay.
So tradition is, you know, you're supposed to have a white wedding dress.
Sure.
And I think a black wedding dress definitely is something that is not good within the religious world.
Okay.
I don't know exactly what it signifies, but it put her off so much she wasn't going to make it.
Okay. Because I could see like somebody who's going, I want a black wedding dress for this Halloween party I'm going to, you know, or something of that nature. But obviously the guy wasn't like, hey, I'm here for a Halloween party dress.
No.
There was something.
Like going to the nicest store to get.
Yeah. That's pretty creepy.
Now, there is one weak link in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Not Mally and not her cousin Lore, but... the lady that came in to see a psychologist, could she have thought that after she heard that story that it happened to her and came in very upset? You know, you have someone there that you can't verify that it happened to that person. So, yeah, it's you know, been passed by at least three people to get to us.
Sure. Interesting story. Creepy. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Another letter. Hey, guys, I have many, many stories to tell, but this one is the most interesting and thought you would enjoy it. I just now discovered you on YouTube and really like hearing it. I call this my 70s ghost story. I live in Austin, and the year was 2002. I lived alone and had no animals at the time. My boyfriend would be in and out and travel for several days also, but didn't live there. So when I knew he would be in town, I would leave notes for him or something like that, when I knew he wouldn't be home when he got there. I came home one time when I thought he was going to be there, and he ended up being delayed. The notepad I had on the chair had obviously been read, not blown over by the AC or anything, but I could tell someone had been in it. In addition, a few other things were moved a little. I was frustrated and called the apartment office and asked if the maintenance man or anyone had been in my place for any reason. There was no letter or anything to say so, though, and they confirmed that no one had been there. One time my boyfriend had slept in a while, and I went to work, and when I got home, I saw a Halloween card that belonged to my son that I usually kept packed away. He was only a few years old. The card said, "Sweetie," on the front, and my boyfriend thought I left it for him on the bathroom counter that morning because he said I called him sweetie on my way out that morning. I told him no, I did not put the card there, and how ridiculous for me to do such a thing, actually. I would take a nap in that apartment. I would always feel like something was caressing my hair and shoulders ever so lightly, and I ignored it because if I was napping, I really needed to get some rest. So, now to the freaky part. One night, I woke to what I thought was someone breaking in my house because I heard bare feet scooting across the carpet. I always kept a light on in my closet, and when I opened my eyes, there stood a man, maybe in his late 20s or 30s, looking at me, scratching his head like he was confused and was sort of transparent. He was wearing white boxers and a white undershirt. He had straight bobbed-style hair and 70s-style large-rimmed glasses. I immediately was freaked out and shut my eyes to try and get back to sleep and pretend I wasn't happening. I immediately felt the caressing of my hair and shoulders. I shot out of my bedroom and planted myself in my recliner and turned on the living room light. The same time I heard plinking in my kitchen like someone was stirring at an empty coffee cup. At the time, I didn't have a coffee maker and my counters were totally clear of any dishes. I stayed awake till I went to work a couple hours later. Obviously pretty shaken and kind of dreaded going home, but decided to reconcile with a ghost and inform him of the house rules, and while I cooked, I remember telling him, "You are dead. You see a light? I don't know. Just what I'm told, there may be one. Your family is probably waiting for you. But if you choose to stay, that's cool too. Just don't slam doors and watch me in the shower, and you can watch TV with me too." From that day forward, I never had one thing happen. I guess I sent him on his way, and maybe that's why he was scratching his head looking confused, because he didn't know he was dead. I'm so glad he was not a bloody corpse or anything. I felt bad after I sent him on his way. Maybe he didn't want to go. But I wonder how long he's been wandering around and wondering why he was still here. Hope you enjoy the story. It's 100% true. I have more if you want. Thanks, guys.
I wonder if he just decided to just hang out and just not make his presence known, but just stick around.
That's what I'm wondering. Maybe he didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you essentially said he can stay, just don't, you know, essentially freak me out or let me know that you're here.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's doing that.
Yeah.
You know, you really wouldn't have any way of knowing unless you asked him to make himself known again, and then if he did make himself known.
Sure.
But, yeah. It really could be either way.
It could be. And there's no way to know unless, like you said, you ask him to do something. And that's kind of possibly opening a can of worms. I think I would just leave good enough alone.
I don't know that I would be really complaining about a ghost massage. You get free ghost massages? That'd be great.
I wouldn't want that.
Massages from the dead.
That's weird.
You could open a whole spa with that theme.
That
would be great. And you'd have people who would believe it was going on.
Mm-mm.
Even though, I mean, you're not like infesting it with ghosts. You're not doing anything paranormal. You're just calling it this and just saying that, oh, yes, we're in contact with ghosts. And you just play the whale mating music with the dim lights and with some candles around. And just tell people that, you know, and then maybe what you do is you put a couple very discreet fans in the ceiling, you know, kind of like the ones on airplanes,
mm-hmm,
that just blow air, but you make them look like something else so people don't think, oh, there's a fan there. And then you just pulsate the air towards someone's back that's laying down in essentially just like a massage room. And then they're going to think they're getting a ghost massage. You could make buku bucks doing that.
I think that's dumb.
Paranormal massages.
Who's going to fall for that?
A lot of people.
Oh, gosh.
A lot of people. It'd be horrible to do. That would be one of those things to do, like on a hidden camera show. You know, and in no way am I discounting you're saying that this happens to people. It happens to people. You just can't turn it into a marketable business and bring the ghost to you on demand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm not in any way discounting this happening. I'm just saying that you, it's like a ghost in a jar.
Yeah.
It's essentially that, just on a whole other level. What would the the employees wear, like the person at the front desk who leads you to the room, because there's nobody coming in there and actually massaging you other than the air that's blowing and you're telling them it's a ghost while they listen to whales mating.
A black wedding dress.
Would that be the front desk attire?
That would be it.
There you go. Then she shouldn't be so freaked out when somebody comes in with a black wedding dress. What do you do? I have a ghost massage, and our theme is be touched by the dead. Touched by an angel.
Touched by an angel. I don't think he can.
That's what it's called. Touched by an angel, ghostly massages. I don't know. That's all I can come up with right now. If anybody has any other ideas for this business that I'll someday create, let me know. 855-853-4802. Shelby writes, in the past, I received a Samsung video camera for Christmas. I set it up in my basement. We have paranormal activity in our home, and I caught some good footage right away. I didn't think it would happen, but it did. In the video, I caught the dryer door opening and closing and clothes being pulled out. It was so creepy that it happened while I was just asleep upstairs. I put the video camera in a black camera case in the kitchen on the highest shelf so the kids couldn't mess with it. I washed the floors that night and left a bucket of water in the bathroom to spill it out in the tub. I forgot about it and fell asleep. I woke up the next day looking for the video camera to check it out again, but I couldn't find it. Just the black case on the shelf. It was sitting there like I had left it. I looked all over the house. The place was spotless. Went to the bathroom and saw the water bucket and noticed I forgot to spill it out, so I did, and it felt heavy. There was my video camera drenched in water and ruined. I knew it wasn't the kids or my husband, as I was the last one to go to bed. The first one to wake up. I feel like our ghost or whatever purposely ruined the footage. I had a weird, creepy feeling. It was crazy, and it was smart enough to know to ruin the video camera. What else was it capable of? I showed a couple of people the video, so I was happy about that. I wasn't the only person who watched it. Since then, I haven't tried to record anything because I didn't feel like having my stuff ruined again. The person who gave me the camera wasn't too pleased. I only had it for a 3-day period. I took the hint, but I'm thinking of purchasing cameras and will have them recording all night or when we're not home to see what I can catch before I get my home blessed. We experience a lot. I want other people to see it too so that people won't think I'm too crazy. Ha ha.
I don't know that I would want to try it again and provoke it, because if it's ballsy enough to take the camera and put it in the tub of water or bucket or whatever, I don't think I want to try and see what it's going to do next time, especially if the cameras are like mounted to where it can't mess with them.
Mm-hmm.
Then it might try and get rid of the room that they're in or something like that.
Yeah. And I'm wondering how much, you know, mounting the camera onto something firm and structural would help.
Mm-hmm.
Would that make it impossible or much more difficult for the entity to get in it? I think if it's like unscrewing things and going through that process and really unmounting the camera, I'd be really freaked out then, because that shows that this thing has a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you have like multiple cameras and it's taking them all down. Although it may not even have to do that. It may just find a way to destroy it in its setting. I don't know. If you do that, let us know. I'd be very curious to see what you capture, and if you can, you know, capture it onto essentially when it's recording and the data is done, get it onto a cloud somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then see what happens.
I don't know, that would be my sign of okay, I'm backing off, I'm not gonna mess with that, I'm
not gonna keep going,
just gonna get the house blessed and saged and everything, but I'm not gonna provoke it any further.
Videotape when the house gets blessed, see what happens. That could be interesting.
I'm not going to say, yeah, that's a great idea. I'm not going to do that.
Okay. 855-853-4802 is our number. Madison writes in, hi, guys. My name's Madison. I've been listening to your show for about 3 weeks. I've always been interested in the paranormal, so this podcast was right up my alley. I have many stories that have happened to me, the vast majority in my own house, but I want to share the ones that occur most frequently, and one that happened last night. Our family has considered our house to be haunted ever since we moved in 1997 when I was 2 years old. It was built in 1928 and still has much of its original architecture. So, as you can imagine, it's very old, and whatever spirits haunt this place must be attached to some part of the house. The paranormal activity in our house peaked a few years ago, to the point where we saged the house for a little while for peace of mind. After we cleansed the house, most of the activity stopped. However, there are a couple of events that still occur. The main activity that occurred is an occurrence of my bedroom door opening by itself. Is it possible with my door to shut it without completely shoving the latch into the hole, if you know what I mean? The door doesn't fit the frame completely, so it closes very tightly and it's hard to open when I push it all the way shut. So most of the time, I leave the lock touching the inside of the frame without closing it fully. This keeps the door closed very well unless a significant amount of force from the other side of the door pushes it open. My cat has figured out how to push open the door, but when she does, it swings wide open. Sometimes I'll hear the doorknob move and the door push open as if someone is coming in, but no one will be at the other side when it opens fully. The most important part of the story is the timing of the door coming open by itself. It will only come open if I'm saying my nightly prayers or in some sort of emotional distress. I sought out the option of a medium at an occult shop recently, and she told me that it was nothing malevolent, so not to worry about it. She said it seemed as if it was a comforting spirit trying to make its presence known and provide a little comfort when I was upset. Last night I had been lifting weights with my dad and inflamed a rotator cuff in my right shoulder. It was a dull ache when I went to bed, but I woke in the middle of the night with intense pain radiating across my chest. I got it to take an ibuprofen and lay back down and wait for it to kick in. After a while, it got so bad that I started to cry. After a few minutes of tears, I heard something touch the doorknob. It wiggled a little, and then the door pushed open. Got up to see if it was my cat, but the hallway was empty. I whispered a small thank you in the direction of the hallway and got back into my bed. I fell asleep shortly after, and an image of a mother and a baby flashed into my head. I don't know if that was just because I was drifting into a dream state or if it was my ghost trying to show herself, but I'd like to think it's a mother spirit trying to comfort me when I need it.
You know, I think it might be the spirit trying to give her that message, because I know a lot of people that they say they see it in their mind's eye, you know, that something is in front of them they can't see with their eyes, but they know what is there because they see it in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was just a case of that.
Like, it's an extrasensory thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. Thank you for sharing that story with us. We really appreciate that. 855-853-4802. That's our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to share your real ghost story with us, we would love to hear it. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony. My name is Vincenzo Perino. I am a 27-year-old guy. I'm a little person. I've been experiencing some things in my house that I thought would be worth sharing with you guys. I'm a big fan of your show. And a couple of weeks ago, I've been hanging out with some of my friends, and we were in my room, and we were just, you know, watch TV, jamming to music, you know, with guys my age do, watching sports. We were just doing a whole lot, and all of a sudden my TV goes off automatically, and at first I thought, you know, because I have older siblings who like to play pranks on me, so I thought, oh, maybe it's a prank, maybe the sleep timer is on or something. So I went and I turned my TV back on to check, and the sleep timer was off. And immediately, right after I turned my TV on to check, it went off just three times before I could actually figure out that the sleep timer was not on. My radio that was connected to my phone, that was playing music off my phone, was starting to get static, which I had no idea why that was happening. We checked everything in the house. There was no electronic interference. There was no nothing, so we didn't think of anything. We just left the radio and the TV off, and we just started to talk about things and inappropriate things, but things all together when all of a sudden my light in my room went off, and we went to look straight at the closet door, and we saw a bright light coming from the bottom of the door in the inside of the closet. So, again, I have three older siblings, so I went thinking that, oh, one of them is in there doing something stupid, trying to scare us. So I went in there to check, and when I opened the closet door, not only did the light go, but there was nothing in the closet. I'm talking about nothing. I have a safe that was bolted to my wall. I have a shoe shelf that is screwed into my wall. I have jackets, clothes, shoes. Everything was gone. It was an empty closet. And I thought nothing of it. I said, oh, okay, yeah, this must be a prank. So I shut my closet door, and within a minute, I heard a pounding in the closet. So I immediately opened my closet door again, only to see that everything that was missing in my closet was immediately put back exactly where it was. I have no idea how to explain that. I don't know if maybe something was toying with me, if there was some kind of demonic spirit in my house. I have no idea. The only thing that I know is there were three of us, and all three of us would tell you the same thing. It was very eerie. It was very strange. It's a very uncomfortable feeling, and wasn't very pretty. All right, well, I'm looking forward to hearing more of your ghost stories on Ghost Stories Online. Love the show. I am now an APB member of the show. I don't know if I said that right. Anyways, I am a member of the show now, and I hope to be hearing you guys soon. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you for the story, and thank you for being an EPP. We greatly appreciate that.
Okay, I think when you turn a TV back on after the sleep timer's gone off, It resets.
The sleep timer?
Yeah.
Should.
So I wouldn't, there would be really no way to see if the sleep timer had run out or not. And I'm not really thinking that part is so much paranormal as the closet and everything in the closet disappearing and then coming back.
That's almost... It makes me think of that the story we had not that long ago. And we had one similar when you were gone, too, where there was, remember the food, all this, you know, going back into the packaging?
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like almost a lapse in time, but the only way that would make sense is if there was like recently nothing in that closet for it. I mean, unless it was one hell of a lapse in time. I don't know. That's just very, very, I don't know what to make of when things like that happen and like objects are just gone. Are they really gone though? I mean, that's what I'm wondering. Are they gone or is this something that's essentially able to change the way someone is seeing something so it appears to them that they're gone? You know, essentially just manipulate their vision.
I think it's some kind of lapse in time because we've even had stories of people that have looked out windows and literally seen a different time.
Yeah.
And then they look away and look back and everything's back the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's just some kind of, I don't know, dimensional overlap or something like that.
To talk to Doc about that down at the shop. He's got that big speaker he's working on. Something called a flux capacitor.
That movie's 30 years old.
That's disturbing.
Can you believe that?
No. I can't, and I don't want to think about it. And you know what? What annoys me about that movie is like every but once a week, somebody will post the picture of the time machine and the year that it goes to in the future, and it'll be manipulated to be like that week. Like it's that week in Back to the Future time. No, actually, it's not. It has. I don't even think it has been yet. I think it's actually later in the year.
Okay.
But let's just correct that right now, because I'm so sick of seeing that. Back to the 2015 date. Okay. October 21st, 2015 is the date that was originally in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the one. So when people are posting this out there, it's not true.
Well, yeah, because it's October 21st, 1985, and then he goes back to 1955, mm-hmm. and then he goes forward to 2015.
Yep. Okay. So that's that. I know I'm talking about really important things here, like back
why
to the future.
Why does that bother you?
I don't know. I don't know why that bothers
people
me.
People are wrong on stuff constantly.
Oh, they're always, yeah.
But this one
bothers
you
me.
To Google it.
This one, I'd rather get like upset about something like that and Google it than get really bent out of shape after all the political crap that goes on out there. Because I just am so sick of, I don't want to know anyone's political opinions or affiliations or beliefs or thoughts on any of, it's like, this just, show me a picture of, your kids having fun, and you laughing with them at a park or something silly,
That's kind of why I gave up on Facebook.
Yeah. I don't care to hear somebody's rant about this or that. It's just like, show me some puppies.
Yeah.
That's all, and I'm slowly, Facebook for our listeners, we just keep it about ghosts. Mm-hmm. That's what we're there to talk about, But like on my personal Facebook, it's just like I'm slowly just unfriending people because it's like I don't want to know. I don't really care. Don't want to care. It's like I just want to keep that to just family.
Sure.
So anyhow, 855-853-4802. And if you post the wrong Back to the Future link, you're gone too.
Just forewarning you.
Just for that.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Hi, Tony. Jenny, it's Ray, your Ohio funeral director, calling. I know that you had a episode a while back, and you were asking what funeral directors felt about advertisement. And I just wanted to let you know, for the cremation aspect of things, advertising has always been frowned upon for a long, long time, and it's beginning to become, more prevalent. I don't think anybody has an issue with couponage, like you were talking about, where they were saying, come get a cremation for this price and that sort of thing. I think that the placement might have been bad, near a food advertisement, for hamburgers and things, because anybody who's ever been around a cremation will probably confirm with me that there are points where it almost smells like a barbecue for a while. So the placement may have been bad, but I don't think anybody would really have a big issue. And in fact, I can kind of send you, and I did send you, a couple of ads that came out a couple of years back for a new style of cremation. Well, not new style, but it was basically called Just Cremations, and there was no fuss involved. And they had some pretty controversial style advertisements, which I sent along for you to look at and review. And if you want to discuss them, you can. And since I have you on the phone, I'll tell you a quick one that happened to me just very recently. My wife's Aunt Amy had passed away a few weeks back, and we had gone back home, and I was staying at my parents' house. And there's been a few things that have happened at my parents' house, which I don't think I've ever talked to you about. If I have, forgive me, but if I haven't, let me know, and I'll let you know what went on. But basically, my mother and my wife and I were sitting at a table, the dining room table, and I was sitting with my back to the china cabinet, and my mother and wife were sitting by the opening to the hallway. And my oldest son, Logan, walked by. And what I saw was he walked by the opening, came into the room, and came up behind me. And it was such a physical presence that not only did I know he was right behind me, but I could feel him standing behind me to the point that I turned around and looked and said, "What do you want?" And there was no one there. And I looked at my mother and my wife, and I said, "I could have swore Logan just walked into the room and stood here." And they said, when he walked by the doorway, a blur kind of came away from him and came and stood right behind me and kind of vanished right after it stopped to the place where I had looked. And my mother was like, "Well, that's your grandmother." Now, I don't think it's my grandmother. She's made her appearances in the past and other things, but I don't believe that was her. I don't know what that was, but it was really odd because there was definitely a physical presence behind me, and I could, it's almost like you get that hair in the back of your neck feeling. It was right there. And speaking as someone who's had spirits touch me physically while I was in bed, I told you about how I would rub my leg. This was kind of on par. You could really tell somebody was there. But when I turned and looked, he was not. And it was just very bizarre because as I was making that comment, after my mother had said, "That was your grandmother," my son Logan walked past the room again, coming from the other direction. And so I knew he had not walked into the room. Like, I was like, well, did he, like, sneak behind me somewhere or something like that? So he never entered the room, but, he sort of did. Well, that's all I have for now. Like I said, just a brief one. Love the show. Keep it up. Wish I could be an EPP, but I'm on a budget right now. So you all take care and keep up the great work. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. The most disturbing part of the call?
The fact that it has a barbecue fragrance at certain times.
A cremation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the line of the day.
I was going to say that's ruined barbecues for me.
Anyone who's ever been around a cremation knows that for a little while, it kind of smells like a barbecue.
Hey, you know, I mean, that's his line of work.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
And I mean,
that's what he does.
It's a shocking piece of information to someone who doesn't do that. And there's all sorts of things. You know, you learn about other people's jobs that you go, oh, my God, really? That's one. That's one I've never. See, I guess my, and I'd love to see some of those pieces of advertisements that he was talking about that were kind of shocking. So please do send those over. Or has he sent them? Have you seen them at all?
I haven't seen them
yet. Okay. I guess in my mind, and this is just me not knowing how that works, but I would guess that, you know, it would be a fairly contained unit that the cremation is taking place within, with ventilation not at all going into the building or the facility which it is taking place in, but the ventilation going outward somewhere. So I suppose if you're outside, you probably pick up some of the smells, but I would think maybe if you're in the building itself, that I would hope there'd be like an air filtration system or something that, you know, kind of would keep those smells outside of the office. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think what is bothersome to you is more so it's not a thought that you've had.
Yeah,
it's logical. I mean, it makes sense. You are essentially burning flesh, which is what a barbecue is. It's just a different type of animal.
Great idea for a new game show right there.
What?
Barbecue or cremation? Oh. And then you have to guess just by the smell.
That's sick.
That's horrible.
That's sick.
Player one, what is it? Barbecue or is it Aunt Edna? You know, that's...
That's awful.
That's completely horrible. Oh, my God. Well, that's interesting and new information. And it won't be as humorous to me in about 5 minutes just because it will be old information to me.
Okay.
But, wow. Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the insight. Thank you for the information. I can move on now with a piece of information that I guess I will never get out of my head. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us or grilling tips.
That's gross.
I'm not talking about cremation anymore.
Oh.
I'm going to the quiche thing. Let's do another caller before we wrap up the show for today here at Real Ghost Stories Online. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hello.
Hey, you guys. I just wanted to tell you that I love your show. I listen to it when I'm at work, and it helps the monotony of the day go by. So I have a story. It's kind of a bunch of snippets all put together, as it was just a bunch of spread out, not just one big. But about 5 years ago, I lived in Florida, like South Central Florida. Since then, I have moved back up north to my hometown. The reason that I moved is because of this place that I lived in. It was pretty bad. So it started out, I have three girls, and we lived with my boyfriend down there, and we lived in his grandmother's house. He has one daughter. Two of my girls shared a room, and then his daughter and my other daughter shared a room. So we started out one night, we're laying in bed, it's about 11:30, and we hear a crash. We're like, what the hell? So we go out in the living room, and there was a Jesus statue that had fallen. Now, this statue had been sitting on this shelf with nothing behind it. It's just a shelf. There's no draft. There's no possibility of anything pushing it from behind. quite heavy, and it's been sitting there for, I think, years, as it had collected a bunch of dust and everything. We didn't think much of it. We swept it up, went to bed, just thought, oh, that's weird. Next thing that happened, we're laying in bed a few weeks later, and the computer turns on. It was completely off. It was a Sunday night, I remember. Cycles on, completely turns on. We're like, what the hell again? And we just lay there, and it turns off again. Now, that could be electrical. I get that. Not long after that, we were sitting on the couch, and this is when it kind of got weird. I was on my computer. I was doing homework, taking online classes, and he was playing on his phone. Kids were all in bed. And all of a sudden, I hear, Mommy, like a little girl's voice. And I turn around to listen. Didn't hear anything else, so I kept doing my work. And then I hear, Mommy, again. And I turn around and say, Baby, what do you need? Thinking it was my daughter. And he looks up at me. He's like, what are you talking about? And I said, I think my daughter's up. Go in there. She's sleeping. But I can still hear that voice. That's when things really started to get weird. I started to get really depressed. Anytime I was in the house, I was highly depressed. All I wanted to do was sleep. My youngest daughter was still too young to go to school. I would take a lot of naps. There was one day I was taking a nap. She was watching cartoons, laying on my bed, and I felt kind of a small impression behind me, and I felt a hand on the small of my back. And I rolled over thinking she had climbed in bed with me, and there was no one there. And it was different than just thinking that you feel something. I could feel something touching me. That creeped me out. I tried to do a lot of outside work, as any time I was outside of the house, I was fine. But once I stepped in that house, I wanted to cry. I did not feel good. I got constant headaches. I could not sleep at night. My legs would constantly cramp up on me. I got maybe 3 hours of sleep every single night. Then my kids started seeing things. My daughter came out one time just crying and screaming, Mommy, there's something black in the room. At that point, you know, I'd go in there. We had lots of nightlights on, so you could see there weren't shadows coming in through the windows. Then we switched rooms, and his daughter ended up going in that room. First night, she came out and said, there's something black in that room. Okay, so there's something going on. Then we started to kind of investigate a little bit more on our own. We set up a recorder in the living room one night, and you could hear bangs, nothing quite rhythmic about it. It wasn't like the refrigerator cycling on or anything. And there was one night, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, we were listening to the recording off and on, and you hear two deep breaths right in the recorder and then a growl, a deep growl. No pets in the house whatsoever. It scared the crap out of me. It scared the crap out of him. Since I've moved from there, that recording has disappeared. I don't know what happened to it. It just all of a sudden was gone. That kind of worries me. When I was leaving the night before, my mother came and she was going to help move us back. And she was showering in this bathroom that we had a lot of issues with. She took a really quick shower and she came out and she said, Chris, I'm never going in there again. And I said, what do you mean? She said, there's something in that bathroom. That bathroom is where we had a lot of experiences. There was one time that he was gone with all the kids, all four of the girls, and I heard Mommy once again when I was taking a shower. And I looked out, nobody was there. And I got out and I called him, and he said, no, we haven't been home. But I distinctly remember hearing that voice. Since we moved, and it wasn't for, you know, he and I didn't have any issues. I had to get out of that house. I have slept fine. The first night in the hotel room since we left there, I had the best night's sleep in months. Also, he called me one time and he said that he was doing the dishes and that he felt a sharp pain on his back. And he said that nobody was around him, and he lifted up a shirt and there were three deep scratches. So there is definitely something in that house. He has moved out. He has since been remarried and has another child, and he said that he will never go back to that house. That's my story. I deeply believe in that. I wasn't sure if I did to begin with, but now I for sure believe in the paranormal, ghosts, demons, anything of that sort. They're definitely real. When you experience something like that, it never leaves you. So, thank you.
I think anything that attacks you and scratches you is definitely not something to mess with. And yeah, I think getting out of that house was probably the best idea.
Yeah, I don't think that you would, anyone in their right mind would stick around in a house like that, especially with kids.
Yeah, I was going to say, with three little girls, there's no reason to. And if it's mimicking the sound of your kids.
That's scary.
That's very scary.
Yeah, that's one of the more disturbing things in the world of paranormal
mm-hmm.
that I think exists when that sort of thing happens.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very creepy. Thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us. We really, really do appreciate that. Of course, our number is 855-853-4802. If you like the show, please support it. Become an EPP Extra Podcast Person. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP and help keep our show alive. It get all the bonus episodes, exclusive video content, and more. Sign up, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.